The football season's the time for excitement, so go ahead and switch things up with a new recipe from HelloFresh. With pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions, it's never been easier to try something new. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, with the code FOOTBALLERS14 at HelloFresh.com/FOOTBALLERS14.
And Foot Clan, slow is just right if you are on vacation, a sloth, or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books.
Oh,
QuickBooks sucks you in, and then it slows you down with the manual process, integrating difficult and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you visibility and control your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. And you can automate your process and close your books in time, no matter how big your business grows. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. Special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/footballers right now. That's special financing at netsuite.com/footballers. netsuite.com/footballers.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Monday, September 27th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast returns for another episode.
Bet you didn't expect us.
The cliffhanger is over. We're back. And we have guest breaking news.
Another
great weekend of football.
Oh, oof. Yes.
A lot of fun.
Where kickers rule the day.
They did.
Justin Tucker and Mason Crosby.
I could watch that Justin Tucker field goal for infinity. I could just watch it over and over. It was unbelievable.
Dan Campbell would not want to do for 1,000.
No, that is true. Sorry, Lions fans. You should have won that game. Well, not really. Hollywood Brown should have caught passes and you should have lost easily,
yeah.
But tomato, tomato.
It's Monday, and we do want to get sophisticated and react to the weekend with all of your submissions for Monday Punday. Let's begin.
Yes, I will begin with Mike Will. Yums.
Oh, delicious. How about Nawi Harris?
Or Jastar Chase.
Oh, Kyle Pitts the bed?
Stinky. Justin Fields.
Cry Son Williams or Why Son Williams?
Alexander Rad. Totally Radisson.
Shamian Harris.
Noah Fart.
Noah Fart. It reads so good. It's just the little part of the letter missing.
Why don't you take this one, Jason?
Oh, Big Benched.
Has been Roethlisberger.
That one's good. Or, of course, Tyler Conkwin.
Conk.
There was more conking than gronking this weekend.
There was. Tyler Conklin was fantastic.
Every week there should be a Conk versus Gronk.
Oh, and you count them?
Yeah.
Gronk wins this round.
Now, it's tough because...
Did you just call him Kronk?
I did.
What is this?
It's Conk.
You're going Kronk?
Yes.
Do you count... Is it per reception or is it per the actual amount of times you say it? Because every time Gronk catches, it's at least four. And,
oh, because you
and say... Conklin is two.
No, it's fantasy points. Okay. Who performs better? But what a weekend. We still have another great game on the slate tonight. And based on the 2021 NFL season and these games that are all alone, we're going to have a good time tonight with the Eagles and Cowboys. TheFantasyFootballers.com for all the player profiles and tools and player news and everything you could possibly need to keep you informed and get you ready for each and every matchup. You can become a part of our fantasy football community at jointhefoot.com. That gets you a bonus weekly show that gets you premium perks and resources. You get tools like the Stream Finder tool, the in-season projections, a start sit tool expanded to four players. You get a free copy of our book that we came out with. You get a whole bunch of resources to help you with fantasy. And you get to meet a bunch of great people, become a part of our Discord server and community forums. And it's a good time. Everybody loves it. Everybody's doing it.
Rave reviews.
Everybody's doing it. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers if you'd like to watch the show. Let's get into the news.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by Sleeper.
We did find out that Tua Tagovailoa went on to injured reserve before the window, the week three game for the Dolphins, so he won't be back for at least three games.
At least three. They are targeting week six to get him back.
After what took place this weekend, is it net neutral?
What, with the way Jacoby played?
Jacoby played well, and you had, like, Mike Gesicki had, I don't know if you saw this, he had, like, 12 targets, 10 catches. Jalen Waddle had, like, 15 targets.
It was a wild game. I won't.
But Tua's not known to light it up.
Sure, and look, this what Brissett is a very capable backup. He's a fine quarterback. He's not a starter, or that you know you don't want him starting for your team for all 17 games. But he can carry you in the event that someone is out. That's TBD. That was one of those wild games where things just spiraled out of control and the offense was supreme.
Took them to overtime, yeah. And it definitely had a good showing. It scares you, I think, a little bit for we know what Jacoby Brissett is,
mm-hmm.
and we would hope that the gap between him and franchise quarterback is very, very, very wide. This did not feel as wide as we would hope.
Would you guys like to summarize the running back landscape for the San Francisco 49ers?
They simplified it for us.
Kyle Juszczyk, my man!
Great friend of the show, Kyle. Congratulations on your opportunities for this week. I mean, it was interesting that the way they deployed the running backs. It was Trey Sermon because he cleared the concussion protocol. It's kind of what you would expect. He's a third-round pick.
I thought he didn't look very good.
That's what I'm saying. It was interesting. In the first half, it seemed like he was, in fact, they started with him, and he was ineffective, and they moved on. And then all of a sudden, it looked like it was all Kyle Juszczyk out there getting it done. But the second half came. Trey Sermon got back on the field, started. He got a few more opportunities. He did have a rushing touchdown. So if you played him,
you got bailed out with the touchdown.
Yeah, you got bailed out with the touchdown. And I think this, to me, says that if Elijah Mitchell is healthy next week, I think he'll be the guy again. You can't say that for sure with full confidence yet, but that's the way that I would lean right now.
Yeah, or they could be happy with what they got from Juszczyk,
and
he could be interesting as well. Week three injuries to talk about. We obviously have studs and duds on today's show. Maybe one of the biggest busts so far in fantasy football. AJ Brown exited the first quarter with a hamstring injury, which means he gave you 0.3 fantasy points coming off a 5.8-point week. He hasn't finished inside the top 30 in 3 weeks. Obviously, you didn't expect that once the injury happened. But, you know, he had a couple juicy matchups coming up with the Jets and the Jaguars. He could be limited or miss them. It's just unfortunate. I mean, he has not been what fantasy players had hoped for. And with Julio there, what do you do with A.J. Brown at this point?
There can be only one.
There can be only one.
It's a real Highlander situation for the Titans. Only one wide receiver.
It was a worry.
Can be supreme for fantasy football. Julio looks like he still has it. I mean, as far as what do you do with A.J. Brown, I'm not sure you can do anything right now because I expect he'll be out at least for a week.
You think people will still trade for the name, though, at a higher value than maybe what he will be worth?
I think they could, and especially if you were to, I mean, I don't know when the MRI results will come out. I would expect that he is going to miss at least a week.
Would you trade him for Adam Thielen?
That's interesting. I think
that's the kind of deal that would get done, you know, an older, overperforming maybe right now in people's minds, later draft pick for A.J. Brown, an early draft pick. You can make the case.
I think that would depend on my roster. In a vacuum, I wouldn't. I would rather hold on to A.J. Brown for the season-long upside. But if you need a wide receiver and, you know, you lose A.J. Brown, maybe you're 1-2 Yeah, I mean, you that might be a trade you go actively looking for, just to make sure that your team keeps winning ball games.
Adam Thielen has scored in all three games. He has four touchdowns. I don't know who. Might have been Andy Barron. Somebody posted like the regression for Adam Thielen is one of the most delayed regressions they've ever seen.
Yeah, just keep waiting.
The touchdown regression. Tyler Lockett walked off the field after being down for several minutes with an apparent knee injury.
Didn't he come back?
He did come back, okay. I believe. Mild MCL sprain is the theory from Matthew Betts, our injury expert, but we'll follow up this week. The Steelers are falling apart in so many different ways. Juju Smith-Schuster, a rib injury. Deontay Johnson was inactive. You even had Chase Claypool come down hard after a catch and grimace on the sideline. We'll get into their situation when we get into the, the studs part of the show.
I'll bet it's the duds.
Not for Najee.
Well, sure. Okay, yeah. One of them.
Claypool kind of has subscribed to the old school Mike Williams method of football.
They're very similar.
Yeah,
they really are. Which is fall hard.
Yes.
That's the whole, you open the book and there's one page and it says fall extremely hard.
Did you guys, speaking of falling hard.
They're the milk crate bros.
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. Oh, that is sensational. Did you guys catch the play? I caught it on socials because, Sunday, it's insanity with all the games on. I missed this play, but Roethlisberger kind of rolls out to the right.
I know exactly the play you're talking about.
And he trips up on his feet like a baby elephant.
Oh, no.
We've all tripped on our own feet. I'm not shaming him for that, but
definitely Al has when I threw him a pass. Oh, yeah.
But the velocity with which he fell to the ground
too fast
after tripping himself, it's
like just a face plant.
Yes, he goes down like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, there were quite a few comical plays from Big Ben in this one. Big Ben has always been,
he's always been a
sourdough loaf of bread. But he is straight. He's sourdough toast. He is done.
Yeah.
He is. I mean,
unfortunately, he is.
Sorry, Steelers fan. You know.
Yeah.
You watched the game. You've watched the last, you know,
they should
year.
Be apologizing to us at this
point. Right. We're forced to watch this junk.
Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton both left with hamstring injuries. Matthew Betts expecting both to miss week four, possible to miss more. Opportunity for a buy low on Kenny Golladay.
And hopefully you picked up Evan Engram.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they were...
I know I did.
Both of these guys missed, and Engram didn't really have a great game, but just saying, moving forward...
Targets.
How do you not game plan that Engram is your top target?
James White was carted off with a hip injury.
Yeah.
What have you guys heard about this injury?
I haven't heard a lot other than the, it's basically similar to what happened to Ryan Fitzpatrick that landed him on the IR. So it's not a great situation. And I think that the question is going to be hopefully answered on tomorrow's episode as to who is, is it JJ or, does Ramondre, who also can be a pass catching back, get the opportunity that he got early in week one that he fumbled away.
So he does not have a stat line where I'm looking for Ramondre Stevenson. So was the announcer misquoting who caught the pass?
Maybe.
I think that's what happened because we had heard that he was out for this game.
Yes.
He's marked as out in platforms. And then during the game, we heard somebody credit him with a reception, and we were wondering what in the world happened. But now that I look at him, he has no stat line.
Okay.
So the mystery of whether Ramondre Stevenson played or not
continues.
Were you there? Answer me. Rob Gronkowski took a huge hit to the ribs, came back in the game.
Yeah.
Probably won't practice. And then Gio Bernard suffered a knee injury on a senseless play at the end of the game. Probably a hyperextension. Justin Fields underwent.
This is a quick aside comment, but did you guys catch the video? It was a week or two ago. I don't know, but it was Tom Brady talking about how he does not like how these new offensive rules are bailing out offensive players for taking big shots,
putting their players in a bad position.
In bad position, and that stuck with me because I'm like, wow, Tom Brady is very interesting right now. Both him and Aaron Rodgers, of the filters that they had on, are completely gone, and they're just saying whatever they want to say at this point in their careers. And I was with that information watching yesterday's game, going, Brady, you're getting your guys killed out there. What? How can you
specifically Gio on multiple plays?
Gio, it just seemed the Gronk hit. I'm like, how can you be out here touting? Well, you got to learn as a quarterback how to protect your players, and then you just throw them into the thorn bush this week. It was crazy.
How's that cactus feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's fair point. Justin Fields underwent a precautionary X-ray on his right throwing hand after Sunday's game. It was returned.
I would have done that too.
I did pause before I said game because I don't know what that was. The test was negative. He called himself fine. He's not emotionally fine.
Yeah.
He's not mentally fine.
That's one I'm very excited to go back and watch and see what happens.
It was an abhorrent game.
That's one I'm very not excited to go. I saw enough plays where I was like, I know I need to rewatch it, and I am not going to enjoy that film.
We'll talk about it. KJ Hamler exited with a knee injury. Elijah Moore suffered a concussion. And just breaking this morning, the Panthers are trading tight end Dan Arnold, the postman, and a third-round draft pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars in exchange for former first-rounder C.J. Henderson.
Poor Dan. Thank you.
He got shipped out on
our boy Dan Arnold.
Priority mail to Jacksonville.
Our boy on the 3-0 Panthers. He's loving his life. He got a good amount of money. He's on a winning team. And they're like, enjoy the Jaguars, sucker.
Now, at first glance, this seems like just a complete death knell. But James O'Shaughnessy was, super involved. 8 targets week one, and then goes,
Urban is like obsessed with tight ends. Between kicking the tires on Tim Tebow and then making a midseason trade for Dan Arnold.
I'm just saying, I would much rather be on the 3-0 Panthers.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's a human, yes.
And not around Urban.
Yes.
Monday night update, Zach Ertz has been removed from the COVID-19 list. I really wish you could just play Goddard's.
If you could
play Goddard's, you would get enough points. That was today's News and Notes brought to you by Sleeper, the leader in breaking news alerts. Make sure you download the Sleeper app, join the Breaking Alerts channel, and you'll get those alerts and updates faster than any other source.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Josh Allen.
Oh, baby.
He's back.
This was what you wanted to see if you had drafted Josh Allen, or if you were a Bills fan, or if you like Emmanuel Sanders and Stephon Diggs, any of the above. 43 passing attempts, 358 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. And what does he get as a reward? Houston next week.
I mean, this is what we were hoping for. Disappointing beginning to the year, but he's obviously going to be great for fantasy. This is just indications that don't overthink start sit decisions. Washington was like, oh no, they're a good defense. Just start your Josh
Allen. I overthought one this weekend, and I played Allen over Brady, and I'm very happy that I made that change. Justin Herbert.
Yeah, the touchdowns came through for him this week.
It felt inevitable because he's had such prolific performances. He has a true 1-1 situation with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
I think Keenan Allen's the 1B now.
I mean, 281 and I would agree with you on because touchdowns matter so much, and Mike Williams is certainly the favorite to have those. But Allen still had a solid year. But 281 and 4, no interceptions. They knock off the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 1-2 at the bottom of this division somehow. And he's completed 70% of his passes, something we pointed out last week when looking at the box scores. And he had a couple touchdowns called back. This was a positive regression situation, and he looks great. And as Jason said, the most beautiful ball in all of football.
It really, really is.
Matthew Stafford, start of the week. 4 touchdown passes against the Tampa Bay defense. 343 continues to be absolutely lights out for the Rams.
The Rams are very good.
Yeah, they are.
They're very good.
Coop a couple more touchdowns.
Yeah.
You can't stop him.
No.
Yeah.
You burn your mouth.
Oh, the coffee?
Yeah, okay. Very, very hot.
Yeah, he's on fire. Tom Brady did end up with 432 passing yards.
Wow.
And 2 touchdowns because he ran one in. So
he was fine. Yeah, he was fine for fantasy.
New England next week.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Very exciting. He'll be going to break the all-time passing yards record, well within reach.
Jason, how do you feel about this Kirk Cousins run we've got going? 3 weeks, quarterback 13, but the last 2 weeks, quarterback 6, quarterback 6. Hasn't thrown a pick on the entire year. Lighting the world on fire.
He is. Cincinnati, Arizona, Seattle. I think all three of those defenses are middle of the road. This isn't, you know, some situation where he was facing, you know, the Jets, you know, just awful matchups. Honestly, their defense has been a little bit disappointing, although they came through. I mean, you look at this last game, I think it's the most reassuring on Kirk Cousins because their defense only gave up 17 points to the Seattle Seahawks. You think, oh, maybe it was a shootout. It wasn't. Kirk just played great.
It started as one.
It sure did. I mean, it looked like nobody was going to stop anybody at the beginning of that game. And, you know, it was going to reach 70 points. And
he's in the every week streaming starting category. 74% of passes completed, 8 touchdowns, no picks, averaging 306 yards per game, and has elite touchdown scores and weapons with Jefferson, Thielen, and Osborne has been good.
Cleveland will be a very big test.
It will.
Yeah, that one is, it's such a shame that that's the next matchup.
It's at home, though. I expect him to be all right.
It's just Cleveland's so good at controlling the clock. They just take the ball away for so long.
That's true. Patrick Mahomes, up and down game here, three touchdowns, 2 picks, 260 yards. Ryan Tannehill bouncing back with 3 touchdowns. No A.J. Brown, though, but the Jets and Jacksonville on the docket.
But Julio looks more than capable.
And they're throwing the ball a little bit to Derrick Henry. Derek Carr, 386-2. They won again. Go Raiders.
They tried to lose.
they had some defensive players hurt.
They're down 14-0 real quick.
Yeah. And then they got that safety.
Yeah, I mean, it was yeah
on one of the worst play calls ever.
So similar to Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr has not finished outside the top 10 at quarterback so far this season.
Carr or Cousins rest of season?
Cousins.
All right, that is the right answer. Before we move into running back studs and have some discussions there about Najee Harris, a glimmering target, the light in the midst of a dark, dark black and yellow hole. Let's pause and then thank today's sponsors, including Upstart. Think about it. What would you do if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt? Because Upstart works to help you on these issues. You can pay off your existing debt quickly and easily and start living your life. Essentially, if you're carrying a credit balance month after month, that can feel like a never-ending cycle of debt with no end. They help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. And what they do is they basically give you a personal loan. You do it all online, and it lets you pay off your credit cards, the high-interest loans, and it can fund personal expenses. And over 1 million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date if you're in those situations. So you can find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/footballers. That's upstart.com/footballers. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based upon your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. So go to upstart.com/footballers.
And Foot Clan, want to thank today's sponsor, DirecTV. If you're listening to this podcast, I can make an assumption about you, and that's you love football and you want all of it. And maybe you live in a place where you cannot get DirecTV. No problem anymore. Stream the 2021 NFL Sunday Ticket on all your favorite devices. No satellite required. It's like having front row seats to every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. NFLSundayTicket.tv that lets you follow your favorite team no matter where you live. Get the Red Zone channel. Get the DirecTV Fantasy Zone channel. You stream the NFL Sunday Ticket live, and again, you don't need a satellite. You get shortcuts, see replays of entire games in less than 30 minutes. Player tracker, follow up to 20 of your favorite players every Sunday. Like this, if you're playing fantasy football, this is the best way to do it. Go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady And right now, you can see if you're eligible. Pro tip, use the promo code BALLERS2021 at checkout to save 15%. Again, to see if you're eligible for the NFL Sunday Ticket streaming package, go to nflsundayticket.tv/sundayready and use the code BALLERS2021 to save 15% when you sign up.
All right, let's get into running back studs, and I want to play a little game while we do it, which is, I don't know what to call it. Will it stick? Is this for real? Is this a 1 week, or is this something longer lasting?
I like will it stick. That sounds will like it stick. A fun adventure.
Does it stick?
Does it stick? Kareem Hunt, 10 for 81 and a touchdown, 7 targets. You know, Nick Chubb had 22 carries in this game, but Kareem Hunt seemed to have the meaningful ones. He's the running back one on the week so far.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, our own wow. Matt DeSorbo, writer, he pointed out something pretty incredible. I think it's really interesting for the fantasy football world. He's the running back one with 24.5 half PPR points, which should hold even after Monday Night Football unless Zeke goes crazy.
Do something, but
From 1999 to 2020, the weekly RB1 scored less than 25 points just 19 times.
That would be about 320 weeks.
Yeah, so only 19 times has that ever happened. And this year it's already happened twice in 3 weeks. So his point is the running back position is changing. You're not having these necessarily as many of these monster performances. Obviously, in week two, Derrick Henry went absolutely insane.
Right.
But worth observing. It just shows you that it's hard to come by in terms of huge performances and not shared backfields.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is there are very few, I mean, three or four full team dominators at the running back position, and two of them are injured. Christian McCaffrey went down. Dalvin Cook missed the game. So that's really unfortunate. Man, they are so special when they're out there, though. I mean, it shows you both where the NFL is going with the split backfield and also how valuable having those guys, when healthy, maybe this is the opportunity to go trade for them.
So will it stick with Kareem Hunt?
I mean, it will stick, the fact that you can get this on a weekly basis with Kareem Hunt. As what I'm saying is, this upside exists, and that's why you draft Kareem Hunt. You know that he will be behind Nick Chubb in terms of snaps, but he's an incredibly talented running back who gets featured a lot in the passing game. So, yeah, he's a running back, too, with upside each and every single week.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at last year, what will stick is what we have already seen. Not always the running back one, but last year, 8 of the 16 games, he was a top 24 back. Someone that you could play, someone you could flex. Half of his games, he was outside the top 24. So, so far this year, he was the running back 13 week one, and the running back one this week, but 42 in between. So he's a flex option with high upside.
And, well, Clyde did have a good game this week, but for those that wonder why they don't use him exactly like Kareem Hunt, go watch Kareem Hunt play football.
Yeah.
And you see some tackle breaking that is...
You can't take him down.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like there really isn't anybody parallel to him on tackle breaking.
No, there really isn't. There, you know, Derrick Henry can run over guys and run away from guys, but when you're just talking about defender has his arms around you, okay, go. It's like a wrestling match that Kareem Hunt... I think if you gave me 100 chances, like Kareem Hunt, stand there. I get 5 seconds to tackle you. He's just standing. I don't think I could get him down.
James Robinson, 15 for 88 against Arizona, had a touchdown and had a lot of dump-off targets. 6 for 46, did fumble, has Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Miami. Will it stick, James Robinson?
These are the flashes that you needed to see from James Robinson. So if you weathered that storm, I would say better things are ahead. But granted, the Arizona defense, while they dismantled the Titans and Derrick Henry in week one, this is now back-to-back weeks of Dalvin Cook was it felt like Dalvin Cook got 8 yards every single time he touched the ball against Arizona, and James Robinson very effective. So the run-stopping ability of Arizona is very questionable.
His fantasy finish won't necessarily stick because he's not going to get a touchdown every week on the Jags, but the usage is what matters. 65% of the running back attempts, 100% of the running back targets, going off of week two where he was, you know, had a stranglehold. He's the guy there.
James Robinson or David Montgomery, rest of the season?
David Montgomery.
Peyton Barber had a career day, 111 rushing yards, career high. He's the RB3 on the week. Peyton Barber is the RB3 on the week against Miami.
I hope you tuned into
Jason
this.
Jason has got his hand on his face like he's just...
It's just what a world. I disagreed with Mike. Mike on the live stream, if you tune into Sunday Live, and I know, Mike, you asked for the tapes to be scrubbed, but they have not been scrubbed. It is still out there. You said you think...
I whispered.
Yeah, you whispered. You
said, I heard it.
I think Peyton Barber's a good play this week, and you're right. Oh, Gruden.
Najee Harris, 14 for 40 on the ground.
That's
making the third consecutive disgusting ground game performance for Najee in the offensive line.
So why is he talked about in the studs?
But wouldn't you know that Najee Harris had 19 targets?
What?
19!
You could...
That's so many!
You could absolutely project an uptick in targets for Najee as soon as Deontay was ruled out.
No question.
And then the perfect storm hit because Juju... suffered an unfortunate injury and was knocked out early in this game. Where do the short targets go? And they all went to Najee Harris.
He's the number one running back in full PPR this week.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, yes. Because he had, I mean,
he had 14 catches and 102 receiving yards.
Okay.
14
now,
receptions.
This speaks two things out loud. It says, this is excellent for Najee Harris. And this is the worst sign and signal you could ever have for an offense.
Yes.
When one that has three elite wide receivers, yeah, I know they're banged up right now. But, I mean, this way, back step, three step, five step drop, Najee Harris, while you look uncomfortable. That's what Big Ben did this week. So, impressive. DeAndre Swift right now, I believe, is the running back 3. In fantasy.
I thought, overall?
Overall over 3 weeks.
Really?
Maybe in half or full. 7 for 60 through the air, 14 for 47 and a touchdown on the ground. Still split with Williams.
This was the most snaps that Jay Willie has seen on the season. It was almost a full 50-50 split here. But I was going to mention it when you were talking about Kareem Hunt, but knew we would talk Swift anyways. This is a Cleveland situation where both of these running backs are startable. Swift is clearly the guy and is the much better play.
Can I caveat it a bit, though?
Sure.
This was a competitive game, close game. We talked last week, a lot of Swift is, you know, the second half and all those dump-offs. If the game script for Detroit goes the wrong direction, which, I mean, if you look at the schedule, Chicago next week, that'll probably be a competitive game based on what happened this week. Cincinnati in a couple weeks should be competitive. I think in a neutral game script, these guys are 50-50 partners.
I would agree, 50-50 partners, but 50-50 of a team that really does want to, you know, establish the run, and the talent of Swift is just outlandishly high. He's
electric.
Boogie woogie. And also, I just want to, last thing I'll say on this backfield is I would love for Jay Willie to stick as a name.
Honestly, all I've been thinking about is once Mike said Jay Willie.
Yeah.
I saw him on Sunday morning on the couch just screaming, Free Willie!
Oh, yeah.
Free Willie!
Jay Willie.
Every time he gets a touchdown or a touch.
And this is referencing Jamal Williams, yes, running back for the
Detroit
Lions.
Yeah, I don't know if Jay Willie, we've ever heard that before.
No.
But we will now.
It won't be the last time.
Alexander Mattison, I owe him an apology. You know, the perception had been a letdown. And I think that came from people were drafting him every single year.
Yes.
And then when he had his opportunities, he was either hurt or, like, you know, he had one underwhelming game coming in for an injured Dalvin Cook. But there's nothing you can say negative about 26 for 112, 6 for 59 in the passing game.
He was great.
He was a great pivot if you had him. And unfortunately, I didn't. However, I did pivot to Peyton Barber in a league.
Oh, man.
And that was great. Other honorable mentions at running back. I know we got to get through these, but Eckler, Kamara, Saquon. Saquon looked good.
85% of the snaps, second most among running backs. He was not efficient in the running game, but when you get that many snaps and 7 targets, you're going to be fine.
Well, he should do the Najee. He should be a benefit or the beneficiary of now Slayton
yes.
injured and Shepard injured. Barkley will be part of the passing game. Derrick Henry, 28 carries again. It continues. Didn't get in the end zone. Still was fine for your team. And oh boy, I am looking forward to the New York Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars for Derrick Henry in the next 2 weeks.
Mm.
James,
I think.
No.
I was going to say that one name we need to bring up before we leave is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because
It was a great game.
It was a great game. He looked good. I kept watching plays. It was like, oh, where's this guy been? Like breaking tackles, having speed, 17 for 100 on the ground, got a receiving touchdown.
Oh, boy. That was so nice.
Yeah, that's
and
helpful.
And a fumble.
And another fumble back-to-back weeks. Very encouraging if you watch the game to watch how he did it.
Did your spirits brighten up with Clyde and Ayuk both getting into the end zone?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It felt much better to know, like, these aren't bad players. If 2 weeks that happened poorly happen in week 8 and 9, they're just, you know, glanced aside. When it's 1 and 2,
yeah,
man, it gets scary. But yep, also scary is the next 3 weeks for Clyde, Philadelphia's been tough against the run. We'll see how they do against Dallas tonight. Buffalo's been shutting everybody down, and Washington is a good defense that I think will get it, you know, the ship righted on defense by 3 weeks from now. So
a little worried.
Yeah, it's just like if you want to try to capitalize on Clyde having a good game, 100-yard, gets in the end zone, maybe you kick the tires.
Antonio Gibson against Buffalo, 12 for 31 on the ground, so they've been stopping people there. Had the one catch. Luckily for fantasy players, it went for 73 and a touchdown.
Yeah, wow.
It was awesome.
Coach Rivera and the Washington staff, did you see that play? Did you see that? Would you like more of that?
Are you making the pitch?
Throw Antonio Gibson the freaking ball.
Well, to be fair, they threw him another ball on a wide open little slant for the end zone, and he dropped it.
Everybody has drops, but not everybody can take a 73-yard screen pass to the house.
I mean, I agree with you. You watch him run away, and it's like, oh, they're not catching him.
It was awesome.
The speed that a man of his size can get up to is ridiculous.
They heard you a little bit yelling from home. They did try later in the game. It was tipped on another screen pass. So maybe they're going to go to the tape, as we'd say, and work more of this into it. I don't understand, genuinely. This is just like a call to all 32 teams. If you have an elite player like Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, any of these prolific running backs, and you don't call 5 design screenplays where you let the defensive line come through and you try to get them in space. I'm talking to you, Tennessee,
mm-hmm,
with Derrick Henry.
Amen, brother.
I'm even willing to throw Clyde in there.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't do that, you're stupid and you're
Chubb?
Giving up.
Get him out. Get him out there.
Yes, Nick Chubb. All right.
Fucking coordinators.
Wide receiver studs, Mike Williams, 9 targets, 7 for 122 and 2 and still uninjured. He's absolutely boom shakalaka on fire. One fewer target than Keenan Allen on the season. Second most targets, second most receiving yards, second most receptions. Oh, that's in football.
Yeah, that's why I was saying I think Keenan might be the 1B. The target split, at least through 3 weeks, is so close.
Let me make you uncomfortable. Would you trade Keenan Allen for Mike Williams?
Oh, my gosh.
I would absolutely not do that, and I totally understand the rationale behind doing it. Mike Williams is the wide receiver too. He's dominating. He's the touchdown guy.
Feels a little bit like buying some GameStop at the tippy top.
Right. I mean, I think
after everybody else got in.
There's two things that can be true at the same time. That Mike Williams is fully legitimate and is a dude worth having in fantasy, and he's gonna dominate. And
he's a dude worth having.
And he's not gonna be what he has happened to be for these 3 weeks. Like, those two things can both be true. And we'll talk about this next week. My thing to remember from last year of these dominating first 4 week wide receivers to trade them at their tippy top. I still believe it. You know, the Tyler Lockett and Mike Williams and some of these guys that are just on fire, because they will fetch you a million pounds of gold, and they're not going to this every single week for 16 weeks. It just doesn't happen.
You take a player like Mike Williams, you combine him with another player on your bench or a position of weakness for your opponent, and you go trade for Justin Jefferson, or you go trade for a top 5 guaranteed pick is what I would do.
I'm just having deja vu of the Chris Godwin, Mike Evans year. And I remember us being here week 3 going, man, you know, the jokes. Ha, 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 is Chris Godwin the number one on the team now? And he was. He was the number 2 wide receiver that year.
Right. But if you remember the second half of that year, if you just look at the, like, he finished the year at number two. Mike Williams will finish the year maybe ahead of Keenan Allen because he's already got a huge lead and a gap there. But the second half of that year, this is my point, is like, if he finishes, if Cooper Kupp finishes as the wide receiver one, that doesn't necessarily mean that from...
That trading him was a bad idea.
Right, because from week four now on, he might score fewer points than who you trade him for. So the end of season ranking is not the only thing that matters here.
I agree. That's a good point, and we'll talk more about it, I think, in the coming few days, especially with waiver wire and trade opportunities. Maybe you want to pick somebody up, and the two-for-one gives you the chance to do that. Cooper Kupp.
Oh, man.
Cooper Kupp touchdowns every week.
Yeah. Oh, please.
12 targets, 9 for 96 and 2. He is, he's really not, you can't stop him.
I mean.
You can only hope to contain him.
Yeah, I mean, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. They say that. Wide receivers, get breakfast with your quarterbacks because it works.
Devontae Adams had 18 targets. And the quickest screening of a concussion in the history of the world.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I couldn't find the GIF, but what I wanted to tweet. Have you ever seen the super lazy guy doing the metal check wand?
Yes.
Going into the state?
Yes.
That's what came to mind, was just like, all right, yeah.
And
okay,
Adams,
you're good.
Adams said after the game that it was a really hard shot to the chest. I hope he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean,
it didn't look like it. It looked like a man who was knocked out. And this was years ago, but if you guys remember that incredibly terrifying hit against Chicago, I think it was, where Adams was held up by a couple defenders, and then someone came running in and helmet to helmet, and it was very scary. So Adams already has a history of this. So
the NFL came out and issued a statement that they believe that the protocols were followed well and that they trust the independent neurological doctor there. And so, you know, he obviously came in, looked good, 18 targets, led wide receivers in receptions this week. Najee led all players in receptions, which is ridiculous.
Although Gesicki was pushing that too. Mm. Something to talk about in tight end waivers tomorrow, but with Jacoby. Emmanuel Sanders, what a game. 2 touchdowns, 5 for 94, ran the most routes among Buffalo wide receivers. Truthfully, you had good games in PPR leagues from all 3 Buffalo wide receivers. You had Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, all relevant. Sanders ended up with the touchdowns in the monster game. But we were very excited to start him after what we saw last week in the involvement. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that pan out. Justin Jefferson looked great, 9 for 118. Mike had a prop bet with KJ Osborne, and he kept hoping would go to KJ Osborne, and it would always be Jefferson.
It was an absurd 10-leg parlay, and KJ Osborne, I needed like 2 yards.
Ja'Marr Chase is good. Mm. 4 for 65 and 2. Now, do you want music? A music bed?
Sure. I guess he does.
Sure. I'll take music and a camera, please. Ja'Marr Chase. I apologize. I apologize to you directly. You're good. And while I was not the, you know, you weren't my number one wide receiver.
Oh, here it comes.
And I thought that there was no chance in the world that you could pay off a 5th round value in fantasy football in your rookie season. And I apologize to you because I think I was wrong. And
you look very
good.
Qualify?
No. I don't think that was qualified. I'm saying I believe I was wrong.
Well, I think I was wrong or I was wrong. Those are two different.
Yes, you know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, you know, there's a long season.
Oh,
but
okay.
Oh no. That's what I'm saying.
Conditional apology.
It's no different than me saying Mike Williams is like, there's no guarantee what's happened so far happens all year. Here's my full, real, unconditional apology. I did not think you'd be able to come into the NFL right off the bat and be worthy of that pick. I talked about trading for you midseason and things like that. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Unconditional, full apology for Ja'Marr Chase. You look excellent. You have 4 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks. All other rookie wide receivers combined have 3. Good on you. and my sincere apology.
Will it stick? DeSean Jackson, three for not with him. DeSean Jackson had 3 for 120 and 1. He is a desperation play.
Yep.
AJ Green, 6 targets, 5 catches, 112 yards. Will it stick, Mike?
I mean, that's what we have 2 good games now?
Yes.
Yeah.
For AJ Green?
Yeah. We did.
That's 2 good games and 2 good games for Christian Kirk. Meanwhile, I have to imagine he's in the poopy pants club here, but Rondale Moore.
Yeah.
It was
Rondale less.
Yeah. It was extremely disappointing. And will it stick? I would say it'll stick kind of like, you know, when you the quarter machines at the grocery store, you get the little guy who's got the sticky hands.
Yeah.
You throw him at the wall and he does stick. Mm-hmm. But then he kind of slides down and he sticks again.
Nothing that happened this
weekend.
Slides
down, sticks again.
Yeah.
So it's going to – Kyler's playing out of his mind, and it's going to bounce between the wide receivers. Even Hopkins is like it's not the hyper-focusing on one player.
You will not do well to chase the previous week's best not Hopkins player. We said it on the show last week, and this doesn't change anything for that.
Yeah, I mean,
Kyler Murray is completing 76% of his passes. The last 2 weeks, 81 and 82%. He's averaging 335 passing yards per game. He is setting the earth on fire.
Yeah.
What I like about Green is that they do use him in the red zone. He's big. He was able to stand there and be big and catch a bomb Hail Mary where he just stood there. I mean, but Green, Kirk, and Moore are going to have weeks on the weeks that you don't expect them to.
Yeah, well, I think sometimes you can actually see it coming. Andy, two weeks ago, you called the AJ Green. There was a great
Rashad Breeland.
Exactly. The matchup was great, and you know where AJ Green's going to be on the side of the field because Cliff Kingsbury doesn't, you know, change things up. This week, we kind of could see it coming because of the Hopkins injury. Hopkins was talked about as being a possible game time decision. He was a little hobbled. I mean, we talk about Rondale Moore. He had 1 yard, completely disappeared. He only had 20 fewer yards than Hopkins, who had 20. Hopkins was not really involved in this game. And then fast forward one more week, the Los Angeles Rams are there, and you have to imagine Jalen Ramsey is going to be on a hobbled Hopkins. So you might be able to call this next week as well. But I think as the season progresses, AJ Green is not, I don't believe he's looked special on film. I think he's, like you said, been a really big body on a good offense. So you could try to call and pick your moments.
Yeah. Rondale was not out there for a lot of snaps. So the biggest thing is if you want to just bank on availability, being out there on a play, like having started Rondale in a couple of leagues and never seeing him on the field, that hurts, at least when you have a wide receiver out there. Oh, gosh. Okay, someone just dropped in an A.J. Green on deep targets chart where he was 122nd last year, and he's second right now.
Wow.
On Pro Football Focus's rank.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
when
same
when
deep,
you have three
same deep
game
target.
Sample sizes, things be crazy.
Still better than 122nd.
Certainly.
Conklin, Kelsey, Kittle. Hey, Kittle looked good.
Yeah.
7 for 92. Wish he would have scored because I was hoping he'd be the number one tight end this week, obviously, with the start of the week. That was the prediction, and he didn't. Oh, my gosh, he led the 49ers in rushing yards in the first half with a 9-yard run. Gesicki, 12 targets, 10 catches. Gesicki will talk more about if this is what you're going to see from Jacoby Brissett, target-wise, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews, 5 for 109, nice bounce back. Tyler Higbee, 5 for 40 and a touchdown. Logan Thomas scored again. And Jason, I'll let you.
Oh, the Muth, Pat Freiermuth. Oh, Pittsburgh Steelers rookie tight end. The Muth was Luth all over the field. Got that touchdown. I mean, he didn't
really
do anything.
Would you play him if
no? Have you
if Juju and Deontay are both out?
I don't want. Oh man. No, I wouldn't, because I just don't think the Steelers are going to score much, and I think the only way that the Muth has...
But what if they unleash him?
You can't unleash the Muth in year one, or any rookie
I don't
tiger.
Think you can contain the
You
Muth.
Can only let him Luth.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid, but it's fun to say.
It sure is.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
I don't think that moniker could be more appropriate for any player than the first one we want to talk about here.
Yes.
Justin Fields was handed a fresh, clean pair of big boy pants this weekend, an opportunity to start at quarterback to, as we said last week, seize the job, take hold with a firm grip, and, well, don't check the drawers.
Overflowing with caca. I mean, it is a nasty, nasty pair of drawers that he had to take off after this game.
The 6 for 20 for 68 yards, took 9 sacks.
The Bears averaged 1.1 yards per play versus Cleveland, which is the second fewest by any team in a century.
This is going back to leather helmets, right? And
I think this predates helmets.
When they didn't even know how to throw the football.
I mean, every single time that I looked up and saw him, which wasn't often because when they got the ball, they then quickly got rid of the ball. But when I looked up, you saw a guy snap the ball, stare down a receiver who was heavily covered.
Always.
I mean, kudos to Cleveland's defense. That cannot go unstated. They looked great. Their defensive line was great. They made fools of the offensive line, and their DBs were all over the wide receivers. But it doesn't change the fact that he would take the ball, stare down one receiver, throw it to him no matter how many guys are on him, and then predictable results happened. It looked like a first-time college freshman being thrust into a game that he was not ready for.
Against Bama.
And it really just...
And it compounded. As it went on, he didn't improve. He almost devolved. And people want to blame Nagy for Fields struggling, and they want to blame Dalton for Dalton struggling. But, Nagy played a part in what took place. Obviously didn't put Justin Fields into a position to succeed. Myles Garrett played a part. Everybody played a part, and everybody deserves blame.
Yeah, and the worst part of all of it was 3 carries for 12 yards. I mean, the baseline from a mobile quarterback, if he wanted to go out there and run for 50, 60 yards, or let's just call it 68 since that's what he threw for, he could. He has the physical ability, but that was one of the most disappointing performances in a while. I had him in our DraftKings head-to-head-to-head challenge. So
Where'd you finish?
I finished in third place, bro. that's a bronze medal for me.
Yeah, it's not bad.
He was clearly very disappointing. The expectations were high, and the results were lower than you thought possible.
And I'll just throw him in here now. We don't have to talk about him when we get to wide receivers, but Allen Robinson is one of the biggest busts through 3 games, and
I would say
the biggest bust. Yeah, based on just having 3 full games of playing football combined with draft capital, I tend to agree.
Like AJ Brown at least has a touchdown, right? I guess Robinson scored in week 2 and was somehow still irrelevant.
Here's the thing. This is why we brought up last week that things might not be better when you switch to a rookie quarterback. This is why you should be afraid if the switch ever happens in San Francisco, or at least have an awareness that it's not all roses. Like, it's also thorns. I mean, for Mooney, for Robinson, for Montgomery. I mean, what's the future for David Montgomery in an offense that looked this abysmal? And so at this point, I'm hoping Dalton comes back healthy. That's what I'm hoping for.
For the ancillary pieces.
And, luckily, the team can do that with no harm done to the psyche of Justin Fields because it was an injury that took him off, and maybe let him play against somebody else next time.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Justin Fields is out there next week. It's the Detroit Lions kudos to them. They have fought hard and looked better.
I love the Lions. I'm going public with that.
Yeah, no, they're a lot of fun to root for right now. But it's an easier defensive matchup than the Browns and Myles Garrett in that pass rush. So I am hopeful that Fields can brush that one off because we all know he's more talented than what he did on the field, and then have a good game and then maybe be replaced by a healthy Dalton.
Carson Wentz stinks. I don't want to watch him play football anymore. 19 for 37.
Yes. Good.
I have let down my full. I have nothing left. I have nothing left. It's over.
Yeah, he sucks.
Running backs.
Sorry, Carson.
Horrible game for Jonathan Taylor again. not getting the target share, not performing, not scoring. Miami-Baltimore next 2 weeks. Not excited about that. Jonathan Taylor is in the bust category right now through 3 weeks.
I would say he is a bigger bust than Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson has scored fewer points. He's done very little. But Allen Robinson also did not cost you what Jonathan Taylor did. And, man, super, super disappointing through 3 weeks.
The Dutch oven got David Montgomery as well, 10 for 34.
Oh, no!
Four targets, 2 for 21 through the air.
Just the world's biggest blanket?
I'm very worried about...
On the count of three!
Yeah. One, two...
Over the whole team, and they all had to whiff it. I'm worried about Damian Harris. Damian Harris was 6 carries, 14 yards. Tampa Bay is next week. You don't succeed running on him very often. Damian Harris is a bit of a panic alarm. I don't know that the absence of James White will necessarily give him a bunch of targets, but it wasn't pretty. Tyson Williams, Mike, why don't you talk about what happened here?
Contain yourself. I really wish that I could. But I have no idea what happened. He ended up, I mean, when you looked up and it was like, okay, Latavius Murray's on the field again. Okay, that's fine. And then Devonta Freeman kept getting on the field. And, you know, surprise, surprise, being terrible every single time he touched the ball. And at the end of the game, somehow Tyson still led the running back room in snaps.
It felt like he was never on the field. Because it felt like I couldn't believe that he let in snaps, because every time we watched, he was never out there. But he was. It was a fake to him, or just no opportunities.
Yeah.
So what do you do now?
Hopefully something comes out from Baltimore that they had a plan. They had a scheme that's somehow giving the ball to... Really?
Maybe he had a bunch of boils on both hands and they didn't want to expose his hands to like the pain holding the football.
This is a player now that I think a lot of fantasy managers are going to question, do I drop?
Do not drop him.
You don't. But my point is, if people are having that level of belief, that level of worry, saying 5 carries, you know, this just isn't – he's not what we thought he was, what we hoped he was. This would be a trade for target for me. Awful game. The game script got away. Honestly, Hollywood Brown changed this game more than anyone, in the sense that, like, there were 3 plays that just bombs that hit him in the hands that he dropped.
Let's talk about him now then.
Sure.
So let's move into wide receivers.
Combining that, I think that hurt, you know, the Baltimore Ravens offense as a whole, took maybe goal line opportunities away, but I do think that this is a team that wants to run the ball, and it looks their best. He was on the field the most snaps. So he's a guy that if I could trade fodder for and stash him, Tyson, I would.
What about Hollywood? Would you trade for Hollywood?
Yes.
After 2 drop touchdowns?
Yes. I mean, Mike brought him up. He was Mike's start of the week, and the talk about process over results. He has been great for...
He was great in the game, except for 10 straight
games going back to last year, and he was great in that game.
Didn't I say he was setting us up for something? I think we said this is the perfect situation where he just... I didn't expect this. Like, he looked great, and I would trade for him. But he was just, like, setting all the fantasy players up to finally feel fully confident. And then he dropped 3 balls.
One of them was tipped
in his defense, where it's like the defender gets a finger on it just at the last second. So I can sort of understand that one. But the other 2 were house calls that if he just didn't have the butterfingers, he runs a 70-yard touchdown in.
Yeah, and once it gets in your head,
it was obvious it was in his head.
Oh, for sure. And you know that you're going to need a day. You know, and he should be fine. He should come back next week and be fine. He's a professional wide receiver. He knows how to catch the ball. He's done it his whole life. Just don't drop the first one next week, please.
Are you worried about Robert Woods now? 3 weeks in, 3 horrible duds. It does seem like perhaps he is not attending the breakfast with Matthew Stafford, and he has 27 yards after the catch, which was his calling card. This is not – it's 3 weeks, and we've seen what this team is doing. They're also DeSean Jackson's there. They're using Van Jefferson. They're using Tyler Higbee. This is not just a Cooper Kupp versus Robert Woods thing, is it?
No, no, it's not. He put it this way. Robert Woods has never been a high upside guy. He's been a high floor guy. He has been someone that is the first read, a hyper-targeted player. He always ends up in the 130 target area. Well, he is currently on pace through three games where the offense has looked good and they've been chugging along. He's on pace for 107 targets. Now, that's a 17-game pace. So right around 100 targets. And if you're only getting 100 targets for Robert Woods, he is not a high-end fantasy option at all. He is a flex start and someone that you need to be looking at your options of who else you have on the roster and making start sit decisions. He's not an auto start.
Hollywood or Robert Woods?
Hollywood.
Rest of season.
Hollywood.
All right. Cortland Sutton, not the game from last week. 5 for 37 in this one. Noah Fant didn't do much. Tim Patrick was kind of the leader, 5 for 98.
It will be interesting with now Judy missing, or we knew Judy was out, but now KJ Hamler with what we don't have the full results yet, but watching the injury happen to his knee, it looked like this is at least one game, probably a multi-week injury. I don't want to speculate, not a doctor, but just watching football for so long, the eye test said that was not an excellent injury.
Well, and one of the problems in this game for the receiving options was
game was over.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. they dominated the Jets from the first whistle. And Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams had great games. It's ironic because you go, oh, the Jets are so easy. They're a great matchup. But it's probably better, you know, the next 2 weeks, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, the Raiders after that, those are teams that are going to put up points and require wide receivers to make plays for your offense.
Scared about Corey Davis? 10 targets, but just 5 for 41.
No, I
probably holding
yeah, I'm holding. I mean, 10 targets is great.
Rondale Moore, 2 targets, barely saw the field.
That one is scary because of what you said. He didn't see the field. You watched the game, and it was – I don't understand why. I don't have a rationale for it. I mean, you have a player my only thought is, like, he fumbled right off the bat in the game. Like, right, literally.
On a punt return.
Punt, yeah. I mean, the first – play of the Cardinals offense was him fumbling.
I don't think it was related.
I don't either, but that's like a please be hey, that.
But it was like week one, right? Like week one, he was barely on the field too.
That's true.
He just was more effective with those limited snaps. Yeah. It's a risk when you try to roll him out there, but we talked about that earlier. Robbie Anderson, just the 2 targets on Thursday. Hockenson.
Yeah.
I saw a Monday Punday TJ blocking son because he was.
Oh, because he's blocking.
Yeah.
2 for 10. Yeah. What was it? This is the jockstrap game, not the hockey league game.
Yep.
And then Noah Fart, 2 for 15. That's not sticking. Noah Fant deserves better from us.
I mean, the hockstrap isn't his nickname. It's just his nickname when he does stuff bad. I think Noah Fart is pretty good.
Robert Tonyan, 1 target, 1 catch. It was a chance to score. He just didn't get in the end zone on it. Kyle Pitts, 2 for 35. I'm not panicking with Kyle Pitts personally. Are you panicking with Kyle Pitts?
I'm not panicking, but it was very strange to see only 3 targets.
I did listen to the post game, and they were talking about what the Giants defense was doing to specifically scheme out Kyle Pitts. It's not necessarily encouraging that teams can do that.
Yes.
But, it. I think there'll be brighter days, but it's a rookie tight end, as Jason has always pointed out. And, I still think he offers you more upside than most tight ends out there in the fantasy market, but the offense looks pretty trash.
Yep.
And this game was disappointing from an over-under perspective. Darren Waller, not a great week. Gronkowski, 4 for 55. Are we done with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry completely?
Excuse me. Gronk was
4 for 55.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
All right, that'll conclude the old Dudarooskies.
Also, yes, Andy.
Are we done with Henry?
Done with the Patriots tight ends? Yeah.
Might be done with, like, Patriots offensive players outside of a Jacoby Myers PPR play.
Yeah.
Right now. We want to thank Pristine for supporting the show, pristineauction.com. A Jalen Hurts signed Eagles Lunar Eclipse alternate speed helmet, $55.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome.
Devontae Adams signed alternate speed helmet, $57.75 ends Tuesday night. Use the code BALLERS at pristineoxygen.com to get a $10 credit. And before we close today's show, I think we all wanted to say a few words in memory of friend and colleague Mike Taglier, who passed away from COVID-19 at the age of 39 this past weekend. Tremendously sad to hear that news, and all of our thoughts and prayers are with his wife, Tabby, and their family, and his Fantasy Pros family. We all knew Mike.
He was a really, really, truly great guy. Like, you know, we got lunch with him one day, and he was so kind, so nice, so jovial. And
it's so excited to be in this space full time at the time.
I don't know if you guys remember when he came. He visited the office, and we had known him because he was rising up the PFF ranks and just like really making a name for himself. And he comes in, he's like, "I got huge news. I got a full time." And we're like, "Where was it?" He's like, "I can't tell you." He wouldn't break, and we kept trying to get him. Like, so when is CBS gonna announce that you're full time? He's like, "No, man, I'm not. You'll see when the news comes out." He was such a good dude.
Yeah, and I would say the hardest working in the industry, the grind that he loved to do.
Yeah.
He'll be sorely, sorely missed. He's a great, great man. And
And Fantasy Pros, they have a GoFundMe that they have set up that benefits his family. I've already seen the fantasy community rise up
Incredible.
And support their family, and seeing Tabby's response to that and her gratitude. And so we will put the link to that GoFundMe in the description of the podcast, and we'll link it on YouTube as well so that you can go and support Mike's family and commemorate just an incredible career in the fantasy football industry.
He will be missed.
And more importantly, a really, really great person. So we will miss you, Mike. And just really very difficult to think of this industry without him. So that'll do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Footballers. And we wish you all well, and we'll be back with Waiver Show tomorrow.
Yep, and good luck with your Monday night, should you need a Monday night miracle, which I do. I need 40 points from DeVonta Smith. Is that happening?
Might be asking a bit much.
Yeah. See you tomorrow, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.